for that choir. Earlier this week, some of you might have attended the service, but we hosted a funeral service for a beloved church member, Gray Wells. Linda and Gray Wells were members of Covenant before moving to Windcrest. They still call Covenant their church home, but with mobility issues, don't often make it over here for worship services. So on Thursday, we held this beautiful, beautiful service for Gray Wells. And after the funeral service was held here, there was a police escort to Fort Logan. Since he was a Navy lieutenant, we did a graveside burial service for him as well. And I've been in those police escorts before, going to the gravesides, but there was something so profound about this one in particular. And I think it's because it was the middle of the day, on a Thursday, in the middle of the Denver Tech Center, that this police escort was taking place, that this hearse was driving through the city in the busyness of people trying to grab a coffee or lunch on their break time with coworkers and colleagues. And it was wonderful as I was driving to see people, you know, crossing the crosswalk to get the sandwich across the street, but then pausing and seeing the sirens and the hearse, removing their ball caps at times, removing whatever hat they had, some of them saluting, some just placing a hand over their heart, a pause in their day, reflecting on the fragility of life. We drove by several grocery stores as well, and we've seen the people out there picketing for the unions, and several times they put their signs down and just stood and watched as the hearse drove by, watched as all of us followed the hearse. And if you've ever been to Fort Logan before, you know that you kind of navigate through neighborhoods before you get there. And in the neighborhood, they heard the sirens, and several former military veterans came out to their front porches, removing their veteran ball caps and just standing there. My goodness, it was the most profound 30-minute drive. I found myself weeping on our way to the burial that these people have no idea who is in that hearse, know nothing about Gray, know nothing about the family following, but a pause, a sacred reminder in the chaos of our ordinary lives, just out trying to grab lunch or grab coffee or out for a walk with the dogs or just sitting in your living room and you're reminded how fragile, how instant all this beautiful life is gone. And while I also noticed how many people stopped and paused and took the time to acknowledge the hearse, I also saw so many people that didn't acknowledge, that were oblivious. Maybe they were on the phone, maybe they were looking down, several people driving and texting, by the way, not even acknowledging the hearse, not acknowledging anything. They missed an opportunity to be reminded that our busy, chaotic lives are not just our Monday through Friday and Saturday, Sunday schedules. They're not just our 9 to 5. They're not just consumed with our own making of our schedules. But that there's this sacred unexpected. That we live these lives day to day. That we have these chores and these tasks that we make for ourselves. And we fill our days with such wonderful, beautiful things like worshiping on a Sunday morning. But sometimes we get so stuck in our own ruts that we fail to pause. We fail to take those moments and take a step back and be reminded that God calls us to this moment, that God calls us into this day, that we get to be in community with people, that we get to live this absolutely beautiful life in this created planet, that we get to experience love, that we get to experience emotion. Sometimes we're too busy. In fact, sometimes we're so busy that we're forced to slow down, or we're forced to pause. We're forced to acknowledge the fragility of life. But every single day we are invited. We're invited to see those sacred, unexpected moments. And as I reflected upon this specific sermon and that encounter with that police escort, I thought about this text And how in the midst of even Jesus encountering the community, when the community, all they wanted was to be healed. All they wanted was a solution to the problems that they had. All they wanted was just a little bit of Jesus' power because it could heal them of their sicknesses. That amidst that moment, Jesus is not denying the healing. Jesus is not denying people to come to him. He says these profound words that we read in the Sermon on the Mount with the children's blessing. And then this is actually called the Sermon on the Plateau, according to Luke, because it's a shortened version. So according to the Gospels, Jesus told this multiple times. He preached the same exact sermon on who is blessed. So in this moment when people have their own agendas, even approaching Jesus, Jesus slows them down. And Jesus pauses and says, "Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are you who mourn. Blessed are you who weep. Blessed are you who are brokenhearted, who are sorrowful. Blessed are you who are hated." What? And what Jesus is saying when Jesus talks about blessed are you who are poor, yes, he might be talking about the material wealth. Because as Alex explained, that children's blessing was a time when there was this system that you were either incredibly wealthy or you were incredibly poor. And there was great division between the two. And throughout all of history, we have seen that division. We have closed the gap in some areas, but there's still such a division. And so, yes, Jesus is talking about the materialism, the poverty of materialism, but Jesus is also speaking to the poverty of spirit. What we mean by the poverty of spirit is when you're in a space of poverty, when you are poor, when you are in lack, you have a desperate need for something. You are dependent upon something else. And so what Jesus is saying in this moment is, blessed are you who are poor because you depend on me, because you depend on God. You know that you need God's guidance. You know that you need Christ. You know that you need this relationship. Whereas oftentimes, when we become rich, when we become wealthy with time and money and resources, we become so self-sufficient that we become the gods of our own lives, that we make every moment of our day, we do everything according to our own will, according to what makes sense to us. But Jesus is inviting us in that moment to take a pause and reflect and say, what are you in need of? You need to slow down. You need me. You need this relationship. That's so counter culture to what we experience. We're so used to hearing cultures say, be successful, climb the ladders, get the awards and the certificates, get the education, be of the highest status, accumulate the most stuff, accumulate the most wealth. But Jesus is saying, okay, those things aren't evil. I'm not saying don't enjoy your life. But what's your posture? Don't be so about your own life, your own successes, your own wealth, that you forget that you need me, that you need my guidance, that you need my wisdom, that you need me in this relationship that we share. Blessed are you who are hungry. And again, there's that physical hunger. If you've ever experienced that growling of your stomach or the shakiness that all of a sudden you're like, I just need a cracker or something. I'm desperate for food right now. I'm so hungry. And what Jesus is saying in that moment is that dependency, depending on something. So there's the physical hunger, that ache. And the people who know hunger know what it means to be dependent. Whereas when you're well fed, you don't always think that you need something because you have your self-sufficiency, you have your independence. Blessed are you who mourn. Blessed are you who are sorrowful. Jesus is inviting us to experience the emotions of life, to be present to those, to be brokenhearted for the broken world, not so consumed in our own lives, consumed in our own complacency, that we forget to have compassion, that we forget to have empathy for other people. And there's that difference there of the sympathy and empathy. Not a sympathetic view of, oh, it's such a bummer for them. I'm sorry that they don't have a place to live. I'm sorry that they're hungry. I'm sorry that they're standing on the corner asking for food. That sucks. No, but to have deep empathy, to look up on our drives to lunch, to meetings, our commutes home, looking up and acknowledging the people that are often overlooked in our society. And recognizing that that's who Jesus is talking about. That we are called to look at them, to acknowledge them, to not just look and then look away and go about our day, but to deeply empathize with all of God's creation. To say, man, that person's hungry. I've been hungry before. But what does it mean to be hungry and to be in desperate need? Empathizing with people, recognizing that we are called to be empathetic, that we are called to serve as Christ served. Jesus is inviting us in this, to recognize, yes, the surface level of all of this, the physical hunger and poor and poverty and riches. But there's something beneath the surface in this text. And that's that spiritual posture that Jesus is talking about. But it's not, like I said, it's not evil to have wealth. It's not evil to enjoy your life. Jesus isn't asking you to be a martyr in any ways with this text. Jesus isn't asking you to sell all your possessions and go live on a street corner. No. Jesus says, with great privilege comes great responsibility. So how do we get uncomfortable with our lives? Just as the beginning of this service, I invited you to get uncomfortable. Because what this does is it causes us to open our eyes, causes us to hear a sermon from a different perspective, causes us to reflect upon a passage from a different seat in the pews. Maybe it's somebody else's seat. Maybe it's a different side of the aisle. Maybe it's an opposing side of the aisle. Or maybe it's just one row forward. How do we open our eyes? How do we pause in our everyday lives? How do we step out of the routine? How do we get off of that hedonic treadmill that just is a hamster wheel over and over? How do we take intentional moments to create these sacred, unexpected pauses? Because it's not every day that you're going to see a hearse and a police escort going to a burial. And yet every day in every city, there are many hearses. There are many burials driving people and families mourning that loss. What this scripture passage invites us to do is just that, is to take a pause, take an inventory of your own posture, of your own spirit, of your own life, saying, am I so independent and self-sufficient? Am I so wealthy that I'm overlooking my need for God? That I'm overlooking my need for God's guidance in my life? Am I overlooking the people in my life who are desperate for connection, who are desperate for love, who are desperate for physical shelter, and who are desperate for listening ears or advocates for them? How do we awaken to that? How do we awaken to the reality and to the call it is to live each day fully and fully dependent upon God? In the earlier centuries, when churches were first establishing themselves, They physically were placed on properties that had graves. Usually it was a cemetery, and then you had to walk into worship. And the purpose of that was dust to dust. It was reminding us of how fragile life is. Can you imagine walking into church through a cemetery, acknowledging the saints and the lives that have passed, acknowledging the reality that that too will be me one day? Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Then sometime in the 1950s, when the suburbs were booming, they stopped doing cemeteries with churches. But you know what's really unique about Covenant? You might not know this, but that out there is a columbarium on our property. It's where ashes and urns of those who have passed are stored. And I'm not saying you have to do this every single Sunday, but how would you live your life if every time you came to worship God, you acknowledge the fragility of life, you acknowledge that reality of from dust you have been formed and to dust you will return? Maybe you'd live today just a little differently, knowing that your expiration date is that much closer. Maybe you would extend compassion that more readily. Maybe the wealth and the riches of life wouldn't mean so much. Maybe the materialistic aspects, maybe the accolades, all of that would just be noise in the background. But maybe you would spend more time in relationships. You would spend more time listening. Maybe you would even spend more time just looking, observing the world around you, admiring the beauty of the season, admiring the beauty of creation, and doing what the world is opposed to, which is slowing down. Stop chasing and start living into the present moment, dependent upon God. For dust is how you were formed. Dust is where you will return. So church, let's live into this scripture. Let's get uncomfortable in our daily lives. Let's sit in different seats. Let's hear different perspectives. Let's open our eyes to something that we might be overlooking. And in doing so, we acknowledge that God's kingdom is all around us, that we're just asked and invited moment to moment to awaken to it. Amen.